Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines, time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks, it's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Welcome to Binging with Benefits. I'm Becca.
I'm Jess, and we're two sisters who yap at each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know we don't have a tagline, but that felt right in that moment.
You know what? Do what feels right.
Exactly. Always. Do what feels good in the moment. And here's the thing. You're going to get the rawest and real version of us, audio or video.
Yeah, definitely.
I have wet hair. I have no makeup. My eyebrows are recently dyed. But that is as far as we're getting today.
You know what? Yeah, I know. Have a migraine, but we're pushing through.
We're pushing through it. You know why? Because we freaking love you.
Yeah, do anything.
So love us back and rate and review and share with your friends.
Just a shameless plug.
Just shameless. But look, there's no such thing as a shameless plug here in
true
podcast land. We are just going to,
because what I say goes.
Exactly. That's exactly why. Well, just like the rest of the world, we've become a little bit obsessed with Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Obsessed is not generous enough.
It's way too good. And I am very late. Did you watch early seasons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you've been on the train.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For years.
I have not been. I just recently started watching it. This when we watched that season.
Yeah. That's the first.
That's the first time I've ever watched it. So this most recent season is the only season I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
And I think I avoided it for so long because I was like, it feels like it's going to be too much emotions.
Mm.
But it wasn't that much. Well, actually, no. Didn't I bawl when Abby sang her song?
Yes. No, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that is the sweetest song.
We all watched it together. Me, my sisters, and my mom. We were all watching it together. And I know that mom was bawling like I was. Because I was just like, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But let's just talk about like how pure the love is on this show.
Yes.
Like,
it is deep down. And it is, what's the opposite of superficial? Just genuine.
Deep. deep, baby. It's so interesting. Not to get too philosophical, but it's like watching that show just made me think of like how easy it is to actually love somebody. Think about how quickly these people fell in love with each other. And you know, maybe it's not so easy to quote unquote fall in love, but like to choose to love somebody is so freaking easy. Like that choice is easy to make, and they make it so freely.
They make it look very easy.
They
as
make
well.
It look yes, and maybe that's the thing. Is like, first of all, this is a produced show. Okay, maybe it's not so easy to love.
We don't love everyone, and that's okay.
So anyway, Love on the Spectrum.
Anyway, Love on the Spectrum. It's a choice. It is a choice to love somebody. But now, maybe this is a terrible tangent to go down. But I just, that's one thing that I took from the show was
yeah,
like, how quickly these people just genuinely love each other. But like, yeah, they just like, I don't know, they find something in the other person that they really like and they choose to love them. And that's, maybe that's not for everybody, but I'm thinking specifically of like Madison and,
oh my gosh,
her
what's
twang
his name?
Country,
oh my gosh,
boyfriend.
He's the cutest.
The cutest, who knew every key that every country song yeah. was ever released in and the key changes that like, there was one song that Madison gave him that he was like, it was recorded in A flat and then it switches to D or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But honestly, he could have just said any letters and I would have been
for
like,
sure.
wow,
I would have been
yeah.
like, yes,
that's
yes,
it. King. Wow. That's how did you know that?
How did you know you're so smart? And maybe
but also,
that's what it was. I don't know.
But no, I am fully confident that he was speaking correctly yeah. when he said all that. But yeah, no, that is the one thing that I've noticed is like, they just focus so much on the good and like not the icks or like they never talk about the, like, well, I mean, Connor was like, no blondes.
Okay,
like,
well, Connor, first of all, Connor is a king.
I love Connor.
And George,
she is the sweetest. That post where he was like holding a sword and he goes, my hands look like this, so hers can look like this. And they were just on her face all pretty like princess.
Are we
Follow
kidding
them on social media, because like it will make you believe in true love again.
No, really, seriously.
Talks of people saying, like, normalize dating men on the spectrum. They bring you gifts on the first date. But really, like, if you read the comments, it's really just like, no, but they're so earnest and, like, honest about where they're at. And you'll never have to guess, like, how they feel. That's another thing, is Connor being, like, so very aware of himself being recorded. Like,
yeah.
Cut that out.
Yeah, he's, mom, don't say that in front of the camera.
My goal.
Like, speak for yourself.
I know. My goal in dating is to find a man who is so awestruck by me, like Connor was about Georgie.
Yeah.
Like, that should be the goal, right? Yeah,
pretty much.
Just finding somebody who's like, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, walk into the bathroom saying that to themselves.
Can
barely
believe that you're in his life.
Yes.
And honestly, like, vice versa.
No,
I should
literally
be able to barely
versa.
Believe that that person's in my life.
Absolutely.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Love on the spectrum.
Honestly, that's the goal and nothing else. Hence why I've been single literally my entire life. That's something we're not going to unpack on here. But you know what? That or nothing.
That or nothing. And Becca's like, and I hold true to that.
But like, okay, I'm watching Married at First Sight Australia.
Okay, we love it.
And there's this one guy who's on there, and I'm like, immediately, I'm like, narcissist.
Oh, really?
Absolutely not.
And we're not using that term freely. We're identifying. We are very careful to not use that word unless we're like 90% sure that's actually a thing.
Because the producers asked, what do you want in a wife or something? Or like, what do you want her first reaction to be?
Oh, God. Like, anticipating what the answer's gonna be already.
He was just like, well, she should like, you know, like, fall at her knees because I'm so gorgeous. And like, have you seen my suit? And like, all this stuff. Anyway, it's ridiculous. And then they get to the thing and he's charming the pants off people. He's going over to dad and he's like shaking hands. And dad's like, oh, wow, he came over to me. That's really new and different.
Like,
and I like that.
Performative.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then and he's like, girls tell me all the time I'm hot.
Ew.
And yeah, I'm just like, okay.
Girls tell me all the time I'm hot.
No, thank you.
See, and like, oh man.
There's so much.
I just can't. First of all, men who think they're the prize.
Try again.
Men can be a prize, but not the prize.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that TikTok where the girl was like, they normalize objectifying women via visualization. They go, oh, I'm a visual being. And she says, well, then why do you look like that?
Yeah.
Why do you look like that?
Why does your apartment look like that? You're a visual creature.
Yeah.
A visual creature
with that neck beard?
That neck beard. I'm not convinced you can see at all.
Yeah. No, literally.
Sorry, mama.
Yeah. No, but anyway, so love on the spectrum.
Look, we have taken a tour of our brains.
Of the entire thing. Hope you enjoyed. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Take your gift bag on the way out.
And that's it. That's all we have for you today. The end. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot today.
Oh, we have so much.
Oh, my goodness. For the 20th anniversary, I think. Yeah. So the 20th anniversary of The Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden.
McFadden? Oh, boy.
Is there a Y? Oh, I've no idea. Matthew McFadden?
Fagian.
I have no idea. But anyway, it has been 20 years since that was released. And we went to go see it in theaters. And that was fun. So then I heard about this movie called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, going back to the 20th anniversary thing.
Yes.
I watched Pride and Prejudice like a month prior.
You did.
I was like, oh my gosh, it's been so long since I've seen that movie. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that it was the 20th anniversary. And I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am learning. Like every time I watch it, I see something new.
Yeah, yeah.
That adds to the depth of the story. We're watching it in the theater and I'm like, wait, whoa. I have watched this movie a million times. But I still am like, wow. Okay. Seeing it on the big screen honestly changed everything.
Yes.
And it sounds so stupid, but I'm telling you. Yes. No, it was so phenomenal to see it on a big screen and just like be so enthralled with it. And anyway,
it's just such a beautifully shot movie.
It really
is. Like, the story, okay, we've heard it before. Obviously, it's been made into a movie before. It's been made into a million different versions of the story. Yeah. But this particular one is shot so beautifully.
Yeah, it really is.
Every single shot, it's like so well thought out, and just like every still could be framed on a wall.
Yes.
I love it so much.
Literally every still. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's what it is. And I think I used to know that readily, and then seeing it again, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this movie so much. Mm-hmm. It just gets me so happy.
I know.
I love it. Oh. Like the hand thing. I mean, that starts the obsession of everyone I know. Okay, so let's talk about something. I love a man's hands and forearms.
Okay.
Okay. And I realized this probably about 2005, 2006.
Oh, how funny.
That I was like, love to check out a man's hands and forearms. And anyone I've talked to that has that same obsession or same thing that they look for in an attractive male, it started with the Mr. Darcy hand flex.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
They also have a slight obsession with the Mr. Darcy hand flex.
That is hilarious.
And before we go into the movie, I'm very sad to report that that hand flex does not exist in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. But that's fine. That's fine.
We'll still take it.
The reason it's so important, little history lesson for you. The only time a man could touch a woman back in that time was through dancing. So that's why there's so much dancing in that period of like those period pieces. There's so much dancing. That's the only time a man could be that close and touch a woman. But also if he was being chivalrous and maybe helping her into a carriage. So that moment in the regular Pride and Prejudice, not the OG, but the regular Pride and Prejudice, we're going to call it today. That's why that's so important, because that's the first time he was able to finally touch her and not, like, you know, be a creep or anything like that. So a little peek inside my
I love that
weirdo brain a little bit. Yeah, so hand flex. Anyways, hand flex is not in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. But you know what? There's a lot of dismembered hands.
Little teaser.
Oh my gosh. No, literally, mom was like, oh, I'm gonna watch the trailer. And I was like, okay.
She could. Honestly, I was rewatching it again today.
Well, she did watch it and she goes, it is very gory. And I was like, stop talking. I can't. You're just gonna tell
Please
me about
don't
it.
Tell me anymore.
She's like, yeah, I don't think I can watch that. And we're like, Allie and Jessica, both of my sisters have been like, mom, do not watch this movie. You will not like it.
Okay. I mean, they are trying to get a male audience for this. And they do. So, of course, they have to have some gore there.
Yeah. No, of course. And it's zombies. So,
and it's zombies.
I'm
it's
not
in
watching
the title.
And thinking flowers. You know what I mean?
Pride and Prejudice and unicorns.
Yeah. No, I'm expecting
Pride
blood
and Prejudice
and
no blood whatsoever.
Yeah. Exactly.
First of all, I will say, if you know the story of Pride and Prejudice, it does follow it pretty closely, which is really nice. But there's some little changes, obviously, because there are zombies. Yeah. Are you ready to get into it?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Okay. So it starts with Mr. Darcy riding on a horse, and it goes to the gates of this Netherford Park. Then there's like this manhole thing, and someone pops out of the manhole, and they're like, who goes there? And it's like, Darcy.
The way his voice,
oh, his voice is so annoying in this whole thing. It's very gravelly. Because I don't even know if this is his real voice or not, like, or if he was putting it on. But it was
Darcy, Colonel Darcy.
Like, so it's not Mr. Darcy, it's Colonel Darcy.
Colonel.
Okay. But he goes and climbs down the manhole with these two guards, and he's held at gunpoint. And it's like in the dungeon of this place. And then you see this doctor guy. He's a priest.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
And he's basically examining Darcy's body. It's like really, just be throughout this whole movie, everyone is objectifying Mr. Darcy.
Oh, geez.
Everyone.
Oh.
And that does not exclude this father. Okay.
It's like, there are no bite marks on this excellent specimen of a man.
Ooh. And he's like drooling.
Ew.
He's completely naked behind this partition. And then it opens. And as he's getting dressed again, you see that's just like a shot of the father just like staring at his crotch.
Oh.
So he's fully examined. No zombie bites. He goes up and there's like a room full of people and they're gambling. And they announce Mr. Darcy is here.
Because Colonel Darcy.
Miss Featherington is the woman who is hosting this party. And she comes in like, oh, what do we owe the pleasure? He's like, I've heard reports. Like, you know, I'm gonna try really hard not to do it the whole time.
Oh gosh, it's so funny.
But like, I've heard reports that there is someone here who's been bitten.
Oh.
And she's like, come on. Like, how dare you? Like, we've taken our precautions. There's no one here that's bitten.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. Can I play? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
So they sit down, and then he takes out this vial of flies. And they're like, why did you bring flies? And he's like, these are special flies. These flies detect dead flesh.
Oh.
And there's like four or five flies, and they all stop. And they turn to Mr. Darcy's right, the head of the household, Mr. Featherington. All the flies have landed on him. And so he's sitting there like, gosh, and everyone's freaking out. And then Mr. Darcy finishes his drink and smashes his glass and then slits this man's throat.
Oh, okay.
And then cuts his head off. Okay. Head is completely, his kappa was detated.
You had an opportunity there and you took it.
I did.
If you're not taking it, I am.
His kappa was detated.
His kappa was detated. Okay.
And Darcy's like, okay. Great. Well, is there anyone else who may be related to this man who he would have had an opportunity to infect? And they're like, no, there's no one else here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, well, cool. And then he starts soccer ball kicking the head out of the wood. So then from there, we start learning the history of England. Basically, he's talking about no one knows how the zombie apocalypse started. People think it's the French. The king, they think this is how King George went mad because of the zombie apocalypse. They say.
Right.
Allegedly. So he makes this huge wall get built around London, but then also maybe like 30 miles from the wall, there's a big moat. So there's just one bridge. There haven't been like a zombie attack in their specific town for 2 years, but like we can assume that like Netherford Park or whatever thing was 2 years ago.
Okay, got it.
London has been pretty zombie free for years and years and years. And during this time, people sent their kids or themselves to go and be trained in the arts of like warfare or fighting, hand-to-hand combat. The ultimate zombie war is yet to be had. All of the Bennets are in their drawing room and they're like shining their guns. Like, you know how like in the other movie, it would have been their drawing or their knitting or practicing the pianoforte or whatever. Yeah. It's shining guns, sharpening knives, whittling spears.
Like, that is so funny. It's like Wednesday Addams.
100%. It is.
But in Regency.
Mr. and Mrs. Bennet are the owners of this house, and they have five daughters. There's Jane, Elizabeth, and then Mary, and then there's Lydia and Kitty. And Lydia and Kitty are like boy crazy. Jane, though, is like the most pretty, the one that everybody loves and is the mama's favorite.
Got it.
Okay. Five daughters. They're all gorgeous. None of them have been married, and that's a point of contention. Mrs. Bennet comes in and is like, oh my gosh, Netherford Park has been inhabited again. Mr. Bingley, he's got 5,000 pounds a year. We have to make sure he marries one of our daughters. And the dad's like, why? Their survival is the most important thing to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about them getting married to some dude. Like, let's make sure they live. And she's like, well, he's hosting a ball tonight. We should all go so that, you know, they can have a chance at maybe marrying this very wealthy man. And he's like, we can't all leave the house. I know there hasn't been a zombie attack for a long time, but like, it's just like, we really want to survive.
Yeah.
And she's like, need I remind you that like, once you die, they'll be put out on the street unless we marry these girls. And Jane's like, yeah, I want to go to the dance. Elizabeth obviously is like, I don't want to. Elizabeth is our main character. And she's like, no. I have no interest in going to a dance. I don't want to be paraded around.
Yeah, not the vibe for me.
Men are not the vibe. Knives are my vibe. But then everyone convinces her, let's go and have fun. Now we see them getting ready for the ball. They're getting ready like they normally would, except this is also shots of them slipping daggers in their girdles and like pulling their dress on over, like, I don't know the weapons, but there are so many weapons on these women. They're going to the ball. You know, everyone's dancing. And then Mr. Bingley comes up. And Mr. Bingley is the person that they are all here to see because Mr. Bingley is wealthy. And he comes in and he's got his sisters with him. And also in tow, a Colonel Darcy.
Colonel Darcy.
And everyone's talking about like, oh, Bingley's so handsome. He's so rich. Who's that guy? Oh, that's Mr. Darcy. He's even richer than Bingley is. Like, we have to make sure that our girls get to know these two men. Elizabeth has a friend who comes up and is like, oh, that's Mr. Darcy. You should try to dance with him, Lizzie. And she says, I shall never relinquish my sword for a ring. So, and the original line is, I'll never relinquish my wit for a ring.
Yeah.
Then Jane says, for the right man, you will. And then Lizzie says, well, the right man won't ask me to.
Ooh. Finger snaps for
that. Finger snaps. The right man will not ask me to get rid of my knives. Oh, Bingley's, Lizzie is Jane. Okay. The oldest Bennet daughter. Goddess divine. That woman is an angel. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And Darcy's like, she smiles too much. It's like, okay, great. They decide to go up and meet the Bennets. Okay. And they walk up and Bingley's like talking to Jane. Mm-hmm. And like, save the next two dances. And Lizzie's trying to make conversation. And she's like, oh, I hear that you guys are in Netherford Park. Like, I hear that the library there is the best library. And then this movie, they really play up the fact that Bingley is pretty stupid.
Oh.
He's like, library? Like, he doesn't understand what that word is. It cuts to a little bit later. Darcy and Bingley are in a corner talking, and Elizabeth is sitting nearby within earshot of them. And they're talking about like, oh yeah, Jane is so great. I really, really like her. Darcy's like, oh, you've picked the most handsome woman in the room. He's like, well, I mean, her sister is fairly agreeable, like motioning to Lizzie. Oh no, she is not even close to being tolerable. And so she walks off in a huff, and she happens to like knock over a bottle of wine and makes this big loud noise that everyone sees. And so Darcy turns around and goes, that's unfortunate. And then she like storms out of the building. So she's storming out into the misty night and like, oh my God, that Mr. Darcy, I just can't. Oh. And then we hear this woman behind her like, oh, are you talking about Fitzgerald Darcy? I hate him too. He's a nightmare.
It's like the girl's bathroom.
No, for real. Like, exactly.
Girl, I know him.
I know him. He's terrible.
It's the DM. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. So this woman's like, yeah, he's terrible. I hate him so much. Elizabeth's like, oh, yeah, I know. But then before she turns around, she realizes she recognizes that voice. And she's like, Mrs. Featherington, who was the woman that was hosting the gambling party 2 years ago. She turns around. Miss Featherington is a zombie. She's like, you're undead. And Miss Featherington's like, I came to tell you. And then blam.
What?
Her head explodes. And Darcy is there holding a shotgun. And he has shot her. And she's like, oh my God, like, what's going on? That everyone's coming running, obviously. And he's like, I saved you. She's like, it was Miss Featherington. Like, I know her.
She's like, you have impeccable timing. She was about to tell me some tea.
Exactly. I was trying to get the tea. And Darcy's like, well, I saved you. Like, blah, blah, blah. Be grateful. Then there's another zombie coming out of the forest. And then Darcy sees this. He's like, oh my gosh, we're under attack. So they all run back inside. And we cut to the Bennet sisters single-handedly smiting.
Oh my goodness.
Every zombie that comes in, okay?
Okay?
And they are pulling the daggers out of their breasts. They are pulling the freaking nunchucks out of, like, their girdles, annihilating every zombie by themselves, okay?
Jeez.
I did not see a single other person fighting these zombies.
Oh my God.
It was just these five girls. And then they finally, like, slice open the last zombie, and it's quiet. And then it cuts to Darcy going, oh my God, Elizabeth Bennet's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my entire life. Her arms are so strong.
Oh my gosh, she's like, well, now I see.
Like, I think she is gorgeous. Hubba, hubba. He is like absolutely horny after watching her fight. It's like feral.
Gross.
That night, Elizabeth and Jane are getting ready for bed, and they're like brushing each other's hair, talking about like, oh my gosh, like Mr. Bingley, it's so obvious that Mr. Bingley is like so in love with you. He didn't look at anybody else the entire night. She's like, well, what about Mr. Darcy? Like, he seemed to really be into you at the end. And he's like, ugh. And then the conversation continues, and they are in the like basement of their home.
Okay.
They are fighting each other, having the rest of the conversation. Like, they have morning training rituals that all of these girls are doing down in the basement.
That's hilarious.
And there's times where they like kick each other into like a stone pillar, and the whole house rumbles. And you can hear Mrs. Bennet, gosh, you're going to knock the whole house down. But Jane is like, oh, Mr. Bingley has invited me to tea, so I'm going to go. And I want to take the carriage. Mom says, absolutely not. You're not taking the carriage. And then Jane's like, well, it's going to rain. Like, I can't show up wet. Basically, the mom calls it out. Like, if we're lucky, you'll get sick, and then you'll have to stay there for a while. You're riding horseback. It's like, ugh. Fine. Okay. This mom is conniving.
She is like,
look, I have five of these daughters.
Yeah.
Not one of them is married. A mother's whole pride and joy is making sure that they marry well.
Yeah.
And she's like, girl, better get that bag. So Jane goes riding on horseback, and suddenly the horse is like scared by something and bucks her off. And of course, what do we think is coming?
A zombie
comes through. She has her handgun. and she fires, but the gun backfires into her hand. So she has a hand injury now. She smashes his skull in. It's gruesome, but she's a badass. She walks in the rain, and so she is definitely sick.
Yeah.
And she has this wound on her hand that she says is a musket backfire, but Mr. Darcy's also there, or Colonel Darcy's also there. And he is like, she needs to be locked in the room at all times. Elizabeth hears that she's sick. And so she shows up and she's like, hey, where's my sister? I want to take care of her. Mm-hmm. She's caring for Jane. And Jane is like very, very sick. Like just like very gray, sweaty, barely coherent. And so then Mr. Darcy comes in. He's like, hey, like the physician's here. He's going to check her out.
Yeah.
So the doctor's there examining her and Darcy casually pulls a vial out of his jacket.
Let me guess. Is it full of flies?
It is full of flies. And he just casually lets them out. Mm-hmm. He's doing his examination and Elizabeth's like, what the hell is going on? Like all these flies are suddenly in here.
Yeah.
And then she just starts catching them one by one. The doctor finds the wound. She's like, oh, her musket backfired. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, yeah, that's not a bite. Elizabeth has caught all the flies. The doctor's left. And Darcy's getting ready to leave. And Elizabeth's like, I believe these are yours.
Oh!
And has a hand of flies. And he puts his hand underneath hers and she crushes them.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
And then just drops them into his hand. Next morning, okay? Elizabeth has stayed at the Bingley's home. So then the announcer butler guy, he announces that the Bennets have arrived.
Yes.
Someone asks, are you here to take Jane home? And the mom starts to say, no, basically, we're here to stay here. Elizabeth comes running into the foyer with Jane saying, yes, yes, we're leaving. And Mr. Bingley's like, oh, no, like, she's obviously not well.
Yeah.
Like, she's obviously doesn't look good. Like, yeah. I don't think it's wise that she leave. And Jane, no, Jane's fine. Let's go. We're leaving. They say to Mr. Bingley, like, once Jane is better, you should host a massive ball. And Darcy's like, out of the question. Absolutely not. Like, especially with his, like, flashbacks of what happened previously.
Yeah.
Out of the question. But Bingley's like, well, when Jane gets better, we'll do it for sure.
Yeah.
So they're riding home. And then they see there's, like, just a ton of young zombies in a field. And they're like, oh no, the orphanage must have fallen. And there's just like creepy music as they're riding past this misty field of orphan zombies. They get home and the dad is like,
hey yo,
we have a guest. There's a certain gentleman here. And they're like, a certain gentleman? Like Lydia and Kitty are like, so excited, there's a man here. And they see who it is.
Yeah, they're like, don't get too excited.
Don't get too excited, girls. We know exactly who this certain gentleman is.
Yes.
This is our cousin.
Yeah.
Mr. Collins. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just such a weirdo. And they see, like, they're peeking around the corner and he's like examining nooks and crannies of the house. And they're like, what is he doing? And the dad's like, oh, he's examining his new home because the second I die, he takes over and kicks y'all out on your asses. Like, lo siento. Unfortunately, so be nice to this odious man. They're eating dinner. He's like, to what Bennett do I owe the compliment of this excellent, excellent cooking? There's no excellent potatoes line. I know.
Oh,
that's one of the fun lines of the 2005 version is
excellent boiled potatoes.
Excellent boiled potatoes.
It's been many years since I've enjoyed
such a vegetable. But he says, excellent cooking. Who do I owe the pleasure of my compliments?
Yeah,
because I'm very skilled at complimenting. Like, and the dad's like, none of my daughters are trained in the kitchen. Oh, okay, well, let me tell you about my patroness. She's very wealthy. She is the deadliest and most fearsome of the king's subjects.
I forgot deadliest is a good thing in this story.
Deadliest is a great thing in the story. That's this woman so is Gorgina, dark raven hair, eye patch.
Oh. Not explaining that.
He's like, yeah, so she's my patroness and she's wonderful. And like, he has a hard on for this woman. Okay. The conversation shifts and he's like, oh, by the way, I think you're all beautiful. I want Jane. And he's like, I would like to have a private conversation with that one.
With that one?
In front of everybody. And the mom's like, oh, no, sorry. Jane is very much spoken for. He's like, I can't do any like haggling for Jane. Nope. We're expecting an engagement very soon. But you know what? Lizzie's great. Yes. Definitely a fair trade. They're all sitting in a library and Parson Collins is like, I'm going to read you some stuff. And they're like, no, how about we go to Meryton? We'll buy some pots and pans to replace our daggers. And it's like, oh, great. Let's go for a walk. And they're walking through the forest and they come upon this carriage that is like turned over and someone's screaming from the inside. all the girls pull out all their knives and they're like, and Jane's like, no, I know that carriage. That's my friend's carriage. And then the screaming and the pounding stops and the carriage flings open and Jane's friend comes out and she's a zombie.
Oh, no.
There's been a terrible accident and I survived. Like, or Jane's like, I don't think you've survived like you think you've survived. And then the friend tries to attack Jane. Elizabeth kills the friend. Parson Collins is like, oh, I didn't know zombies got so smart. Like, when did they start laying traps? But then they carry on their merry way. They've killed the zombie. It doesn't matter.
So anyways,
back to buying pots and pans. They're walking through the streets of Meryton and they see a friend. The friend's like, hey, come meet my friend, Lieutenant Wickham. Yeah, or like, purring all over this man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I bet you look so handsome in your like regional uniform. And as they're talking to them, Darcy and Bingley come riding up. And Bingley's like, oh my gosh, we were just on our way to go see you guys. Funny we see you here. And they're like, oh, hi, how are you doing? Like catching up. And then they're like, oh, Bingley, this is Lieutenant Wickham. Wickham and Darcy look at each other like they know each other and they don't like each other. And Darcy takes off in a fit of tantrum. And they're like, Mr. Bingley, are you going to host your ball? He's like, yeah, Jane, you look great. Hosting the biggest, baddest ball this place has ever seen. And they're like, but you have to invite Lieutenant Wickham. Mm-hmm. He's like, but I'm going to go. Like, obviously, my best friend's having a tantrum. Gotta go figure that out. And so he takes off. And so they're like, hey, Lieutenant Wickham, do you want to come with us to the shops? He's like, yeah, I guess I'll walk with you guys. And so Elizabeth is starting to get to know Mr. Wickham. She's like, hey, like, it seemed really weird that you and Darcy had an exchange of eye daggers towards each other. What's up with that? And Wickham's like, oh, I've known Darcy since I was a kid. His dad really took to me and loved me like a son, and Darcy was jealous. And Darcy's dad was like, hey, you can have the parsonage on my property, and you can then be the priest over this parsonage, and I'm going to leave that to you in my will. The dad dies, and then Mr. Darcy does not respect his wishes and doesn't give the parsonage to Wickham. And Elizabeth's like, oh my gosh, why, whatever would make him do such a thing? And he's like, oh, you know, he just was jealous of my relationship with his father, but I respect him so much. I would never call him out. Like, you have to keep this so quiet. So anyway, so then we cut to Mr. Bingley's ball. They invited everybody they possibly could. Lieutenant Wickham is there. Suddenly Mr. Collins comes up and he's like, hey, Lizzie, dance with me. And she's like, want to. So she's dancing with Parson Collins and he is dancing like a freaking fairy, like flitting, he was a fairy. Then in the middle of this dance, he's also trying to have a conversation with Elizabeth, like, hey, guess what, Parsons don't have to be chased. I could technically take a wife. Then she hears somebody behind her say, like, Elizabeth, can I have this dance? And she's like, yes, like before she could even, she's like, anything to get me away from this Collins dude. And then she realizes who she just said yes to. And it's Colonel Darcy. She's like, crap. Well, I guess this is better than being with Parson Collins. Parson Collins also recognizes Darcy. And he's like, oh my God, you're my patroness's nephew. Lady Catherine de Bourgh. You're her nephew. And he's like, yeah, bro, I know. Like, then we hear Mrs. Bennet in the hall.
And she's like,
when Jane marries Mr. Bingley, like, my daughters will get married rich because that'll bring forth a lot of other rich suitors. So We plan on making lots of money from all of these marriages to all of my five daughters.
Gosh.
And it's like embarrassing.
Yeah.
Elizabeth's like, I want to leave. Elizabeth goes off. She's like, I'm going to go find my dad. Mr. Bingley is with Elizabeth looking for dad, but they come across Zombie. And Bingley's like, what the hell? Bingley gets caught by the zombie. He's doing everything he can to not get bit. And then suddenly the whole kitchen is full of orphans.
Okay.
Remember the orphan zombies in the field? They are all taking over Netherford Park. Then Darcy comes in and Darcy and Elizabeth just start fighting and killing all the zombies. Like, it's so romantic. Like, spinning in circles back to back, just fighting off all the zombies. And like, oh my God, we make such a great team. And Darcy's like, my God, I love you. And they kill all the zombies. Bingley's on the floor. And he's like, was he bit? And Elizabeth's like, what? No. And then Darcy pulls out his knife.
Uh-oh.
And he's holding it over Bingley. And he's like, was he bit? And she's like, no, he just fell and hit his head. He's fine. Like, there's no bites on him. You're a great fighter, but you're a terrible friend.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to kill him.
I was so attracted to you. But then I remembered, like, wow, you're actually kind of an a-hole.
See, If you have a crush, you just don't know enough.
You just don't know enough yet. So then the ball ends. We go to the next morning and Jane gets a letter from the sister, Caroline. I don't think we've mentioned her name before in this, but yeah, her name is Caroline.
Okay.
Sorry.
Whoops, we're leaving.
We're leaving and you won't be able to marry my brother. In fact, my brother's going to marry Mr. Darcy's sister.
Yeah.
And it'll be great because I'll marry Mr. Darcy. And she's like, Lizzie is talking to Jane. She's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, no, he'll be back. He'll be back. I promise you. Like, they're at breakfast when that conversation happens. And Mr. Collins comes into breakfast and he goes straight to Mrs. Bennet and whispers in her ear. And she goes, girls, Mr. Collins wants to have a word with Elizabeth. Get up.
Get up.
Elizabeth's like, no, please don't leave me here with this man. And then they're all alone. And she's standing up and she's like, oh my God, like, what do I do? He comes up to her and he basically is like, from the moment I walked in here, I definitely only wanted you and not your sister. And there's this moment where, like, he keeps getting down on a knee to propose to her, but she keeps backing up. So it's like him going down, up, down, up.
That's it's amazing.
So good. And she's like, no, no, please. I have to decline.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not. I will not marry you.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Bennet's like, barges in because they're listening at the door. Lizzie, you are absolutely going to marry this man. And she's like, no, I'm not. And she takes off. Parson Collins is so funny in this. Like, if you're going to watch this, like, obviously it's a campy movie. It's making fun of something. But, like, Mr. Collins is funny. So Mrs. Bennet's like, Mr. Collins, don't worry. I'm going to convince her to marry you. And he's like, oh, good. And then Elizabeth goes, no, she's not. He's like, oh, drats. It's so good. Like, so quick. It's like, she's going to marry you. Oh, good. No, I'm not. Oh, drats. So Mr. Bennet, come here. You have to convince her or I'm never going to talk to her again.
Yeah.
Dad's like, your mom's never going to talk to you again if you don't marry Parson Collins, or I'll never talk to you again if you do. And Elizabeth's like, great. Awesome. Peace out.
Bye, Mom.
Bye. So she takes off to the woods and she comes into this clearing and it's like spooky. And she turns around and there's four men in cloaks and top hats standing off in a line. And then she hears someone behind her. She turns around and it's Wickham.
Oh.
And Wickham's like, hey, what are you doing out here? And she's like, Did you see those four men? He's like, were they wearing top hats? She's like, yeah. Yeah, they were. And he's like, no, I didn't. It's so great that you're here because there's a special place I really would love to take you. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, she's very enamored by Wickham still. And so he takes her to this abandoned church. He's like, I stumbled upon this one time when I was stationed in the in-between, which is like that space between the moat and the wall.
Yeah.
So they went into this church that looks like dilapidated, looks abandoned, but it's actually full of people. And he's like, let's sit in the back and let the preacher man finish his sermon. Mm-hmm. And there's two young girls in front of them, mm-hmm, that are just like chatting the whole time.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth's like, these freaking rude children, like, why is no one telling these kids to shut up?
These youths.
So she leans forward, shh, you're being very rude.
Oh my gosh.
And then the two girls turn around and they stick out their tongues at Elizabeth and they're zombies.
Of course they are.
And Elizabeth quickly stands up and draws her knife and becomes like, no. And then everyone turns around. This is a church full of zombies. He's like, they're good zombies. They live civilized lives and they are people. There's a way for us to cohabitate with these people.
Interesting.
But we have to, I need your help, Lizzie, to convince people that they're not killers. And she's like, okay, sure. So she goes back home. And when she gets back, her friend Charlotte was like, hey, I have some news. And Elizabeth's like, what news? And she's like, I'm going to marry your weird cousin. I'm sorry, what? Look, I'm 25. My options are slim. And he came to me and said, be my wife. And I said, absolutely.
Can we just take a second? The original.
I'm 27 years old. I'm already a burden to my parents.
I have no money and no prospects. I'm already a burden to my parents. So don't you dare judge me, Lizzie. Don't you dare.
You've never seen the movie before.
Never. Collins wants me to go visit his parson, mm-hmm, his parsonage, and go meet Lady Catherine de Berg. But I'm terrified. And also I need a chaperone because we're engaged, but we're not married yet. And Elizabeth has this idea. And I'll come on one condition. We see them going to Lady Catherine's house, massive estate. So they go meet Catherine, Lady de Berg. Mm. And so they all bow and curtsy. And then she immediately goes, oh, you're Elizabeth Bennet. Like, calls out Elizabeth. She's like, yep, that's me. And she's like, you're the one who wanted to bring a guest. Yep, that's me. This is my guest. Lieutenant Wickham. Okay, so she brought Wickham to Catherine de Bourgh's.
Okay.
Guess who else is also at Catherine de Bourgh's?
Is it Darcy?
It's Darcy. And so Darcy's pissed that his arch nemesis is also here at his aunt's house.
Yeah.
In the Hall of All the Paintings, there's also a painting of four men in top hats. And they are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Wickham is there to talk about zombies, and they all go to dinner. And he basically is there like, I'm sure, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, that you've heard tale of certain zombies who live as civilized people. And she's like, I've heard of it. Don't believe it. He's like, I know for a fact that it happens. And basically, I want you to give me a lot of money so I can help bring these people into society. And she's like, absolutely not. Are you kidding? They're never going to be a part of society. They're zombies. And Darcy's like, you've wasted enough of our time.
Yeah.
Guards, take him out.
Take him away.
Take him away. And Lizzie's in the room with her friend, and her friend is snoring. And Lizzie's like, I can't sleep. She's looking out the window, and she looks out and she sees Darcy in the moonlight practicing his swordsmanship by hacking bushes to bits. And she's looking at him like, oh my God, he's so attractive. And he's like a glorified weed whacker.
Okay? That is so funny.
She decides to go outside, but not to Mr. Darcy. She's just like, I'm just going to go for a walk in the dark, in the middle of unfamiliar territory. Uh-huh. No big deal. And she runs into Wickham. And she's like, oh my gosh, like, you terrified me. He's like, run away with me. Marry me. And she's like, no. And she retreats and goes back. It cuts to the next day and they're back at the parsonage. And then suddenly Mr. Darcy barges in and he's like, there's something I have to say. I love you so, so much. Against my better judgment, you are fantastic. I want you and all of you. And I don't know why, because I really hated you and you were terrible. And then I saw you fight and I'm like, hubba hubba. And like, I love you. And she says, hard pass. I will not marry you. Well, might I be enlightened why? And then they get into a fight. Like, if you were the last man on earth, I would never be compelled to marry you. But they're fighting this whole time with their knives and all this stuff. And he like, she's like, swashing at his jacket, and it's like they're undressing each other with their knives. Because then he's like, turns around with his dagger and like gets some of her buttons on her bosom.
Oh, that's so funny.
Thing pops open, and then they're both on the ground, and she's just like, you're terrible. And he's like, you're terrible. And then there's like a moment where like, are they gonna kiss?
Yeah,
they don't. He gets up, he says, so sorry I bothered you, and leaves. And then we get to a point where like Darcy has written a letter to Elizabeth basically saying like, I'm never going to bother you again.
Yeah.
But let me tell you all this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one thing that she says when they are fighting is like, the reason I hate you is one, you've treated Mr. Wickham awfully your entire life. And two, you're the reason my sister is terribly unhappy.
Yeah.
You took Mr. Bingley from her when it was obvious they loved each other.
Yeah.
For that, I'll never forgive you. He said, Wickham was included in the will and he was left a very hefty sum of an inheritance. Once it became apparent that Wickham had somehow gotten himself into the will and with this hefty sum of an inheritance, my dad mysteriously got bitten. And unfortunately, I had to be the one to kill my father. Even though I had doubts of how my dad got infected, I still gave Wickham his inheritance. Obviously, he spent it all.
Yeah.
And he says this line that is just so funny. I'm going to try to say it in Darcy's voice, though.
Of all the weapons in the world, I now know love to be the most dangerous.
And basically he's saying like, I'm stationed in the in-between. Mm-hmm. I'm at the forefront of the zombie fight. Bingley's here with me, but I thought she didn't really like him. And so, and your family's kind of terrible. Sorry, but it's true. Like, I thought it was just for money and I didn't know it was for love. So I'm sorry. Elizabeth gets back home and Jane has a letter and it's Lydia. Lydia's missing. Okay. The wax seal of the letter is from the Church of the Undead that she visited. So she's like, I know exactly where Lydia's at.
Yeah.
Like, Jen and I are going.
Yeah.
So they go. Oh, as she's prepping to go, like she's down in the basement getting all of her weapons and stuff. And Lady Catherine de Bourgh comes and is like, I heard a nasty rumor. And Elizabeth's like, what are you doing here, lady? Like, good to see you too.
Yeah.
And she's like, I heard a rumor that you're going to marry my nephew. And she's like, no, you heard wrong, lady. Hey, great. Can you promise me that you never will? And she's like, no, won't promise that either. They get into a big fight. Catherine has brought this like massive henchman and Elizabeth has to fight the henchman. She's about to annihilate the henchman. And Catherine interrupts. She's like, okay, obviously you won. I'll take your family to my place. They're going to be the safest there. You go do what you got to do and go get your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the Bennets go back with Catherine de Bourgh and Elizabeth and Jane go find Lydia. Okay, so as they're riding through the battlefields, there's zombies. They run into Bingley.
Oh.
And there's bombs. Like, Bingley's just throwing bombs around.
Of course he is.
He's just the zombies, they're still wriggling.
Oh, okay.
Like, dismembered hands.
He goes and is like, bomb. Here's another bomb.
He's like, confetti. He's like, the flower girl. Warm.
And he gets caught. There is a zombie underground that has clasped onto his leg. And he's just thrown a bomb down.
Uh-oh.
He's like, oh, crap, what do I do? You know? And then Jane and Elizabeth come in and they save him. And there's just like so many hands all over. Like, it zooms out and there's just hands all over this battlefield. And like, people keep getting caught by these hands. Uh-oh. Darcy gets caught by the hands. Elizabeth saves him. Apparently, they're in like an unmarked zombie graveyard.
Oh.
And Bingley's there to try to annihilate the bodies, but they're like, okay, bombs obviously aren't the smart move. Let's just have conversations while we're stabbing into the ground with our spears.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
Darcy's like, why are you guys here? As they're all walking around stabbing ground. He's like, what are you doing here? Like, this is so unsafe. And they're like, whatever. Like, we've just saved you twice now. And she's like, we're here. We're looking for Lydia. Wickham has taken her to the Church of the Undead. Okay, well, I know that church. And she's like, you do? It's like, yeah, we burned it to the ground 2 days ago. I'm so sorry.
Ugh.
Like, there's no survivors. Darcy goes to Bingley. He's like, hey, remember that church? It's like, yeah, the one that we walked past. He's like, yeah, so we need to do something. And then it cuts to Darcy rides off and Bingley is like looking at a stopwatch. Darcy's like, when that goes off, you give the order. And he's like, okay, I will. And Elizabeth's like, what is going on? Like, where's Darcy going?
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, oh, he's needed because there's lots of zombies in London and he's going to go over there. She's like looking and she's like, London's that way. Where is he really going?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my gosh, I know what's that way. The church is that way.
Yep.
She's like, why is he going to the church? He said they burned it to the ground. And Bingley's like, he lied to spare you. He would do anything to spare you. Like, and she's like, absolutely not. I'm going. So she goes. He sees Lydia. She's in a cage and she is chained up. She's like, oh, Wickham said you would come. And Darcy's like, what? Gosh, this is a trap.
Yeah.
And he looks around and there are zombie plans.
Oh my gosh.
All over the walls.
With the red string
and
stuff.
With the red string and like maps. And then Wickham comes in. You're so stupid. I knew you'd come.
Yeah.
And Darcy's like, well, I'm here to offer you something. The Bennets have authorized me to give you £10,000 a year for the release of their daughter. And he's like, money's of no use to me now. How about you give me your dad's watch? He's like, what?
What?
Yeah, give me your dad's watch. So he's like,
For why?
Exactly. He gives it to him. He's like, ha ha. Like, now I have your dad's watch. Well, and then there's like commotion upstairs and screaming and it's like a roar. And Wickham's like, what is happening? And Darcy's like, zombies. And Wickham is outside of the cage. Darcy and Lydia are inside the cage. So the zombies all come running down the stairs and Wickham's like, oh my gosh, zombies. There's just zombies piling up against the cage. We don't see where Wickham goes. It's like understood that he's like taken by the zombies.
Yeah.
He somehow figures out how to get out of the cage, out of the dungeon, and then he puts Lydia on the horse and go off to whatever, do what you need to do. And then Wickham appears out of nowhere and he grabs Darcy.
Hey?
I know. And he's grabbing Darcy and he's like, I conquered London in days. You think you can beat me? I am king of the zombies. Darcy's like, what? Wickham has been a zombie this whole time. He like opens his thing and he's got a bite on his chest.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Elizabeth, who is riding towards the church and she just sees hordes of, like, she's down in a ravine and she just sees hordes of zombies coming from the church. Liz is on her way. She's almost there. Wickham's got Darcy by the lapel and he's going to like turn him into a zombie. And then Elizabeth comes up from behind him and swipes off his arm. We cut back to the bridge and Bingley and Jane and Lydia has made it across the bridge. The timer went off. Blow up the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. So he blows up the bridge as we see Elizabeth and Darcy coming. And so we don't know if they've made it or not. It's quiet and she's kind of crawling and like haunting and like she's like, oh my God, like, oh my God, Darcy's over there.
Yeah.
And so she like is crawling and she gets to Darcy And she's like cradling him in her arms and she's basically like confessing her undying love for him. I loved you since the first time I beheld you. And she kisses him. And then it fades to black.
That's it?
There's more.
Oh, good.
Now we wake up and we're at Lady Catherine de Bourgh's house. The whole Bennet family is there. They're in the like drawing room and all the girls are back to sharpening their knives. And it's obvious Lady Catherine is like so irritated by her house guests. So now they're like kind of living with Catherine. Bingley comes storming into the library. He's like, I have to talk to Mr. Bennet. And then I have to talk to Jane. And so Bingley is talking to Bennet and then he goes to talk to Jane. And then we hear, yes, he has asked Mr. Bennet for Jane's hand. He asks Jane. She says yes.
Yay.
So, and Darcy's there. Everyone's like so excited. They're going to go celebrate with Jane. So everyone leaves the room and Darcy holds Elizabeth back. And he's like, I heard every word you said. She's like, what? What do you mean? He's like, I heard every word you said. And it gave me hope. I'm hoping your feelings may have changed, but all it will take is one word from you and it will silence me forever. You're the love of my life. Please marry me. And she says, okay, yeah, I will. I love you so much. And they're kissing. And then it cuts to a wedding. And it's a double wedding. Collins is there marrying both Jane and Liz at the exact same time. And he's like, okay, like, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride to Jane and Bingley. And now I now pronounce you husband and wife. And I may kiss Mr. Darcy. I mean, you may kiss. This is what I mean. For some reason, these clergymen have hard-ons for Mr. Darcy
that
this entire movie.
So funny. Oh my gosh.
And then you may kiss Mr. Darcy. And they all kiss to their respective spouses.
Like, just a clump of kissing.
It is a foursome of kissing. No. Everyone's so happy. We're running out of the chapel. There's rose petals. At this point, I'm losing my mind. Okay? As the credits are rolling, I am pissed. Like, you know what? I actually was kind of liking this movie until this moment. Because if you're going to lean in and be a campy, ridiculous movie, you can't double back and suddenly be a romance.
Yeah.
And so I'm explaining this to the people I'm watching this with.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're back in it. And it was a pretty long credit scene. Like, they were really trying to psych you out.
Okay? That is spoiler. Funny.
Yes.
Okay, we're back on track.
We've come back to where we ended with the roses. Everyone's happy and all that stuff. And then suddenly the screen goes like kind of gray and blue. And our couples are looking around like something's afoot. And then they look out the gates of the church. And there are hordes of zombies at the gates. And they're all coming. It's like a field and there's long lines of zombies coming. And who is at the front of those zombies?
Was it Wickham?
Wickham is there on horseback leading the way.
What?
And scene. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh my gosh.
And that is Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
Amazing. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 recommend. Go into it with the mindset of they're making fun of this. It's a lot of fun. I love that Wickham has a bigger part in this.
Yeah.
That was something that I was like, oh, wow. Like, because in the original, the movies that I'm familiar with, I haven't read the book, but in the movies I'm familiar with, like, he's barely in it. But like, Wickham's in this movie.
Yeah. That's a good, I love that.
Yeah.
What a fun watch.
Well, yeah. So definitely watch it. And you don't have to see the original or know much about the story because it follows the story pretty closely.
Love it.
This was in 2016 that this movie was released.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So where's the sequel?
I know. Obviously, we're ready for a sequel. Well, Becca, I'm ready for a Benny.
First, let me explain. Well, you know that you're like, yeah, I already know everything.
I know everything. I don't know what you're going to say, though.
Yeah. Okay, so you know that like lately I have been struggling with just meal prep and just meals in general.
Just trying to decide what to eat.
If I could get away with eating once a week, absolutely would do that.
Yeah.
Because eating is such a chore. Because then you're like, okay, well, now protein, okay, carbs and veggies and fruits. Like, am I getting all of that? Water, drinking water. You know, like, there's just so much to it. Yeah, like, it's just too much for me to think about.
Which is so sad. Like, I feel like this is something that we didn't used to struggle with.
But no.
Suddenly in the last year, it's been like, yeah, you would do it once a week. I would do once a day because I still really like eating. It's hard to decide what to make. It's hard to remember to eat. I literally have an alarm on my phone now reminding me to eat.
Yep.
I had some crackers right before we did this.
Yeah, I know, it's so hard. Literally, yeah, I literally had an alarm when I was living in Utah because I would just
forget.
Go hours and hours without eating. And I'm like,
why do
I don't
have
want
a migraine
to. Why does my head hurt?
Why does my tummy achy?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, whatever. Who cares? You know, I'll get to it later. So, yeah, my go-to is like protein shakes. They're like, I don't want it. It's just like,
just put something in it that's going to be good for me. Yeah. That'll buy me a little bit more time till I can actually eat something.
Exactly. So, yeah. So I can make something that I'm really thinking through.
Yes.
Okay. It's called Oath Nutrition.
Yes.
I got it at Target. I mean, it's like everywhere. Because if it's at Target, it's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. If it's at Target, it's readily available.
Yeah, but it is clear protein.
Yes.
And you're like probably thinking, what the heck is clear protein? But you've got your vanilla, you've got your chocolate, the salted caramel, whatever. You've got all these flavors. Yeah. This one, you add to your water and it tastes like lemonade. Like this one I have is coconut colada.
Yes, I have the same one.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I literally feel like I'm drinking a pina colada.
No, seriously, I was telling Pop the other day, our dad, that I was drinking it. And I was like, it's like one of my three drinks I have at any given time. I like this because my other protein shake, which is really good, like I still am drinking that. But like, I also have this one. Mm-hmm. So I have two protein shakes a day now, one for breakfast. And then I have this one. And this one I like sip and savor. Mm-hmm. It's a good replacement for me because normally I have one Diet Dr. Pepper a day and I'll sip and savor it throughout the day.
Yeah.
But now I can have this protein because it tastes that good.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you know, when people are like, oh, put a date, peanut butter, and chocolate together. It tastes just like a Snickers. And it's like, girl, when's the last time you had a Snickers? Because that does not taste like that.
That is not a Snickers bar.
That does not taste like a Snickers bar to any slightest bit. But like you can tell when something like it's like protein shakes. You can taste like the protein.
Hack.
You can tell when it's healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's got that taste.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I have to remind myself that this is, I have to pace myself because it is protein.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 20 grams of protein.
Yeah. It says less than 1 gram of sugar.
And how much carbs is that in again? And 3 grams of carbs. Okay. Like this is, it does not taste like it has that, those nutritional facts in it.
Yeah. Cause you're like, you're thinking, oh, like diet soda and regular soda. You can tell a difference.
Unless it's Diet Dr. Pepper. I will Diet Dr. Pepper stand forever.
But I can still tell a difference.
I can tell a difference too, but I like the DDP better than the regular DP.
Fair, fair. But I'm saying like sugar-free lemonade, you know you're drinking sugar-free lemonade.
You can taste the aspartame. You can taste that difference.
Yes.
You cannot on this.
No, I'm telling you, it's the strangest thing.
Yes.
And it oh my gosh, I will die.
My mouth
is
watering.
Like, I don't eat meat maybe once a week.
That's what I think
for you. And
that's
generous. Maybe.
Becca's not a massive, she's not a big meat eater.
No.
And so she needs the protein.
Yeah.
Or she can get it.
So, I mean, like, beans, great, whatever. But, like, if I can actually enjoy and feel like I'm drinking something that is like I'm sitting by the pool and I would pick that.
100%. That is a perfect way to describe. This is a perfect sitting by the pool drink.
Yes.
I'm ready for summer just for that.
I know. Literally, I can't wait to sit by the pool and drink that.
Oath Protein, freaking hire us.
Oh, literally?
Are you kidding? Like, look at how we're singing your praises right now.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I cannot wait to try all the other flavors. This is going to open a whole other tangent. Uh-huh. But if you don't like it, return it.
Oh my gosh.
But Becca, the thing is, real quick, you won't return it you will love it.
Oh my gosh.
But also, go ahead.
But also, Becca is a whole other level of returning things. I have no problem returning things if I'm not, like, if it doesn't fit right or if it's like, oh, you know, I don't like the way it looks in this space.
Yeah.
Food, I will never return because to me, I'm like, I spent the money. It's on me. I took the risk and it crashed and burned and that's it. And then I'll gift the food to somebody else. Rebecca,
my full name,
will return things that are food items.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand this. And I am always so ashamed when they do it when you're with me. And I'm just like, you know what? You guys go return what you're going to do. I'm going to pretend I don't know you.
I can't be seen with you.
I cannot be seen with you. And I know that there are stores that say they want you to return that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Trader Joe's and Aldi, my two loves of my life are those stores. You will never catch me returning food. Never. I don't think I've ever once done it. Have there been times I'm like, you know, maybe Becca will return this for me, but I've never taken you up on that. This is gross here. Someone else.
You can have this. This is nasty.
Yeah, Becca will return anything. You do you, boo.
You know, my thinking is not only did I not enjoy it or not even not enjoy whatever the item is, but I have to actively be like, wow, that was gross to be like, I'm taking that back.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you've taken things back that you're kind of like, I just don't like the sauce on that.
Oh, yeah, probably. Come on, never mind.
I think it's fine. You do that.
It says on the box on everything.
It does. It says on the box to guarantee you'll like it or your money back. And Jack is like,
take you up on that offer. Look, I work hard for my money. And if I don't to enjoy it, then I'm not going to keep the product. Yeah. Like, I'm giving it back to you.
I am Lieutenant Becca McKenzie. Colonel Darcy got nothing on me.
Yeah, heck no.
I am fighting these wars of returning food so manufacturers know that they've made a mess.
So funny.
But anyways, yes, I love this protein too, and I co-sign your benefit.
Yeah. No, oh my gosh. Anyway, the protein is amazing. Just go get it and then tell me in the comments how much you love it, because you will not want to return this item. I guarantee it.
Don't you guarantee it? We don't have money to give to them.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
They guarantee it.
Yeah. They guarantee
it. The store you bought it from guarantees it.
Yes. Anyway, there's my benefit.
I love that benefit. Guys, we've yapped at you a long time.
Yeah. But it's fun.
But it was fun. It was a good time. Make sure that you rate, comment, like, subscribe, share the podcast with your friends and family, and avoid zombies.
Yeah, at all costs.
Get your protein. And watch Love on the Spectrum.
Yes, please. All three of those things.
All three of those things.
You'll be a better person for it.
You'll be a better human.
Better human, non-zombie.
Definitely not a zombie. I sure hope. All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's online, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit.